sofas, my dear friends. A 93% perspiration, 6% electricity, 4% evaporation, and 2% butterscotch ripple. Hey! That's right, a week, and we're back.
Has it been a week?
Been a week, oh, just about.
It's been a week!
No, carry that one. Yeah, Views from the Sofa, pod 7. Even closer to 10 this time.
Further away from 1.
Further away from 1. I am your host, Ben, and with me is Adam.
I've got a shout-out straight away, Ben.
Let's hear it.
This is a shout-out to all the bootleggers out there, keeping me in movies.
So, yeah. I mean, it couldn't be done without you.
Yeah, no, I couldn't watch some of the shit I watch without you guys.
Yeah, so thank you for ignoring all warnings at the start of films. It's nice. Right, I guess...
That was a very contemporary start, wasn't it? Because we've just found out Gene Wilder's dead.
Yeah, it is, yeah. That's very, what's the word, very current.
Current finger on the pulse.
Were you shocked? Upset?
I find it weird. Not weird when people die, but I find people's reactions weird when they just go, oh my god, I love Gene Wilder and everything. You go, I've never heard you talk about him, ever.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, oh, exactly.
Yeah, just a little bit sad. Just kind of like, no, another one.
Yeah.
And you go, yeah, I like some of his movies, and yeah.
He wasn't, for me, it's Willy Wonka.
That's
it for me. And it was a massive film when I was a kid. Yeah. Like, I had it on video with a double bill with The Witches. Like a Roald Dahl one, and we just watched that on loop, me and my sister. Right. So it finished, right, put it back on again. So, I mean, I was tempted to do the full song as a musical intro, but...
I want you to do the, where they're going down the tunnel one. Yeah. Always have no way, no way. And he gets all, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of it is absolutely crazy, though, when you look back at that.
Yeah, he's bonkers.
He's absolutely crazy.
Well, what else? Any of the, Hear No Evil, See No Evil, is all for me.
Anything you do with Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All good.
Really good.
Bye then, Gene.
Yeah. Sad times. So that's a great positive start.
Yeah, well.
But to be fair, there's at least one ultra depressing movie we've got to discuss later. So we'll get to that. Right. What have you been watching, Adam?
Well, as usual, Ben, you could have found out by using Letterboxd, the app, which I'm using a lot.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, but you can rate films 1 to 5.
Yeah.
But my standard is a 2. That's like the highest I rate films, and it. But that's a kind of like a meh. That's not like because like 3 should be. Well, it was alright.
On Views from the Sofa, 3 is a good. Three is a film that you've sat interested in it the whole time. If you never see it again, you're not bothered.
Maybe I'll change these then, because my one is like, ugh. My two is, alright. My three is like, ooh, yeah. My four is, whoa. And my five is all day, every day.
I like how everything, I really wanted a sound effect for 5, because everything else was a sound effect up until you went.
5 is,
There's a certain kind of film you watch for that, Adam. We don't talk about those on here. Yeah, my five's like must see for me. 4, great. But I do halves as well. Do you ever use the halves?
No, I'm all or nothing.
Because there's some that are like they're almost there, 3.5, and do that really. So
no chance. It's all or nothing.
I'm very slowly that the reviews are going up on Letterboxd. It's taken a while, but they'll be up there.
When did we do our last pod? What day?
It's like the last.
I can't remember. Confessions of a Dangerous Mind would have been the last thing I watched, wasn't it? The morning of.
Yes, it was, yeah.
So since then, I have rewatched Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
Oh, okay.
Because we talked about it, so I thought, yeah. And it was also like the 12th anniversary of the books coming out or something. So it's been everywhere, Scott Pilgrim, for me. That's a 5.
Yeah.
That's a. Then we decided to take the box upstairs to bed. No, we don't have a TV in the bedroom because it's like.
So you just having a cuddle with it?
It's just that thing.
No, I really like it. I mean, we are showing enough love. Let's bring it upstairs.
We're taking a full on bootlegger up there. But we decided we probably need some TV on to fall asleep to. for some reason, all of a sudden. Okay. Now we're married.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got nothing to talk about now.
Now it's...
So we ended up watching Spy.
Okay, I've not seen it.
McCarthy and Jude Law and Jason Statham. I gave it a 2. I gave it a...
okay.
All right, it was quite funny. It's yeah. All right. And then a couple of days later, I had a shark double bill. So I watched The Shallows.
Right.
With
Blake Lively.
Blake Lively's bikini. I mean, just Blake
Lively. Yeah, Blake Lively, yeah.
I gave that a 2. That was like...
okay.
The shark was quite impressive, visually.
Good. Was it CGI? Was it a mix of both?
Was it CGI? I don't think you can train a shark.
Did they use any stock footage? Have a shark swim around for a bit and capture it again?
No. It was just
complete CGI.
It was all right. It seemed to go quite quickly, and it was a bit thin. Just like, well, it's
a lady trapped on boat. There's a shark in the water.
She's not even trapped on a boat. It's like a little bit of rock.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Right. Okay.
That's it.
Yeah, I suppose a boat is no real danger, is it? You just wait for someone to pick you up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then to balance that, because that was obviously quite serious, and so to balance it, I watched a classic, already a classic from 2015.
Go on.
I know it's only 1 year, but 2015. I watched Sharkansas Women Prison Massacre.
Like you say, classic. Sharkansas Women Prison Massacre.
Yeah.
How many stars?
I gave that a 2. I was like,
So you viewed that the same as you viewed The Shallows?
Yes. I was as equally impressed by both. The basic plot is there's some people excavating or something like that, and they blow something up and release some prehistoric land swamp sharks.
Okay, obviously.
As you do. Yeah. While at the same time, a group of women convicts are on an excursion in the woods.
Okay.
I think they're all played by ex-porn stars as well.
Why not?
Classic.
Why not? Yeah, that's exactly
what I might move that up to a 3.
Why you need your halves? 2.5 there. That's what you need your halves for.
And then outside of my blind spots, the only other thing I watched was Green Room. The other day.
Oh, right, okay.
So, I wanted to watch it because it's... The director had done a film called Blue Ruin, which is quite good.
Yeah.
And then I see a theme, Blue Ruin, Green Room. His next one doesn't have red in it.
No.
Or any colour. Patrick Stewart's in there.
Yeah.
As a
villain.
Yeah, as a neo-Nazi compound leader.
Yeah.
And Anton Yelchin's in it. Who just died as well.
Again, really sad, that one.
But I didn't realise it was him until a bit way through. So basically, it's a band, a punk band, and they get a gig and it's shit, but the guy goes, oh, I know somewhere else you can play, and he sends them down to this neo-Nazi compound thing, and they play the gig, and they go back into the green room to get their stuff, and when they walk in, there's a girl on the floor with a knife in her head, and everyone stood around going, shit, don't let them leave. And then that's the kind of...
So it's a... What's the word for that? It's like a breakout kind of thing where they have to get out of it?
Yeah, or survive it. Or
yeah, survive it.
I was going to... I kind of came up with a thing as we were doing it. I might do... I was going to do one-word reviews, but then I thought that might not be enough. So I was going to go review in two. That
okay.
might be my
nice.
New thing.
Okay, yeah.
So this one is... Well, it definitely had the word taut in it. Taut. Taut. Taut violence. That's what I'm going for.
Okay.
Taut violence.
I like it.
Reviewing to.
And that's taut, T-A-U-T, not as in it's a masterclass.
They weren't
teaching.
Yeah, maybe I need to learn some more words.
But fair enough. Okay, so you'd recommend that? How many stars?
I gave that a 2.
So at the moment, the views on the sofa recommendations this week are any of Spy, The Shallows, that shark one with porn stars, and...
Sharkansas Women Prison
Massacre.
Sorry,
yes. And I can't believe I can't remember that catchy title. And Green Room.
Yeah.
Okay. We almost went to see Green Room. It was actually my wife's pick for a cinema choice. Almost went to see it until she saw another review of it that said, it's gory, it's nasty.
So it is.
And she proper pulled. She went, no, I'm not going to see that.
Yeah, it's a little... spooky.
Yeah, yeah.
What have you been watching, Ben?
Well, nothing quite as exciting as that.
Oh.
not as many as... I mean, I watched The Blind Spots, but I also watched, apart from that, I mean,
you've not actually been to the cinema.
I did actually go to the cinema. I was just seeing if there's any others. Well, I've watched some really poor documentaries.
Oh.
Two really, like, one was called Hot Coffee.
About the lawsuit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About the lady who spilt McDonald's coffee on her legs and then sued. And the culture that's created. It was advertised as showing the true story behind this woman. And
she truly did spill it.
She did, yeah. But the thing is, everyone was going, isn't that really ridiculous that she managed to sue McDonald's because she spilled hot coffee on her legs? When you find out that it gave her, like, proper third-degree burns, hospitalised her, almost made it so she couldn't walk again. The coffee was of a ridiculous temperature. But when they got hold of the actual story, it was watered down to look ridiculous. And just how all the lawsuits, it was just boring.
Yeah.
Like after the first 10 minutes, it completely switches. You're on the woman's side after the first 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it goes into lawsuits and suing culture in America, and it's just boring.
Oh, okay.
And the other one was something called The Wolf Pack.
Nope.
So it's about a group of kids who were stopped from ever leaving the house, or discouraged by their dads from ever leaving the house. A group of 7 of them. And they got movie obsessed. So what they started to do was recreate the movies scene for scene themselves in their own house. So they do like The Dark Knight, but they make themselves a Batman costume and Joker things. They do the Blues Brothers. The guy sits down with subtitles on the screen and he pauses it, writes a full script and gives it to all his brothers and his one sister, and they recreate it. And then it shows them actually leave the house for the first time and go out into the wider world and things like that. It's a great idea, but it's not.
I think it's real life. It's just an idea.
It's a great idea for a documentary.
Are you planning to do that with your kids?
It's a great idea. My kid just bring my child up on movies. That's what I'm going to do. Well, just go. You don't need the wider world. I'll teach you all you need to know. So yeah, and then the big cinema release was David Brent Life on the Road. It was. Alright. It was alright. That's
this is already the most depressing episode.
It is, isn't it? Oh, God.
This is a two-star role.
I love The Office. I absolutely love The Office. And I love David Brent. And it was finished perfectly with that Christmas special. And this was just... it's just an extra chapter and you kind of leave going, it was alright.
Yeah.
There's no moment that's really memorable. There's no moment where I'm laughing like mad, creasing. There's a lot of me hiding behind my T-shirt... kind of, oh God, no, don't say that. Like, oh, don't do that. Which I quite like that, but it's not good enough.
So. Can't drag it out for an hour and a half joke. Is it an hour and a half joke? Do you know what I mean?
It's not quite as bad as that, but it's just... you just don't care as much. You just don't... And then they try and force a little heartfelt moment at the end. You go, oh, I'll be alright. And it's just really slapped on the end. So all of a sudden it's like, let's laugh at him for... actually, now feel sorry for him. It's like, oh, well, you've not really built that in.
Yeah.
You know, so it's... you can see what he's trying to do. It's worth watching. If you like The Office, it's worth watching. But it was unnecessary.
Boot, just record it for me, Boot.
You can't specifically listen to Break the Law for you. So, yeah, which... so, you know, I gave... well, to be fair, I gave that, like, a 3-star. It did the job. It was good, but without being... where I gave Wolfpack 2 and Hot Coffee 2.5. So, yeah. And then we'll get on to what we gave our blind spots.
Yeah, so the theme was biopics. Or biopics, is there a difference?
I prefer biopics.
Biopics, because it's actually movies.
Yeah.
So
I think we start with Ed Wood.
Let's start with Ed Wood, because I've just finished watching it.
Because you just finished, yeah. So I watched Last Half Hour with you.
Whoops. Tim Burton, Johnny Depp, Dream Team.
Yeah.
I didn't make many notes here at all.
I might actually have more notes than you've got here. So okay. On Ben's bits. So you've got Adam's asides. I want my own bit. I want Ben's bits. story of the voted the worst director of all time.
Yeah.
And how he made...
some movies.
Three movies in the whole run of the film, to be honest. That's all he made.
I'm sure he made more in real life.
He did. Well, he went on, as we found out at the end of the film, he went on to make Monster Nudie films.
He did.
Don't cover any of that.
Didn't get
involved in that part. Yeah, first thing that strikes me, Johnny Depp looks like Johnny Depp in this movie, which is incredible. He's not made up, he's not got prosthetics on.
Yeah, he's got something weird going on with his teeth. That kind of forced...
Constant smile the whole time.
But more Johnny Depp than... And they seemed a lot cooler than I thought in terms of slick back hair and sunglasses. I thought sunglasses were a recent invention.
No, it was sunny back in LA back in the 50s. He was a World War II soldier as well.
Yes.
Doesn't strike me as a World War II soldier.
World War II transvestite.
Yeah, transvestite paratrooper.
On all that, I've just gone for the word style. It's all very stylish.
Yeah. Was Burton trying to make it like a...
an Edward film. Well, because if you notice, Ben, the opening credits of this had all the gravestones, and in the beginning of Plan 9 from Outer Space is all the gravestones, so it was all mirrored.
Yeah. Because would you say it was badly acted, but forced badly acted?
I think they were knowingly winking and nodding to themselves and to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's moments like when all the people crowd out of the cinema, and there's one shot of them all like turning, looking shocked and things like, duh! Yeah, so...
Yeah, it had a little corniness to it.
Yeah.
But in a nice way.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was, yeah. I noticed Sarah Jessica Parker's in it.
Yeah, because she makes a horse face joke.
She makes a horse, yeah, I noticed that.
So is she aware that she looks like a horse? Or did that stem from this?
I don't know. Because that's a joke, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because when it came up, I thought, oh, is she making a little... Is she putting that in there as a little... Oh, okay. Or has Burton put it in? Just took a risk. I'll see if that slips through.
But then you go, that's 94. I don't know when Sex and the City and stuff was. No, I don't know. Anyway.
That it did remind me that I used to really, really fancy Sarah Jessica Parker, but only in one role.
Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
Like that was the very young me going, oh, she's a bit...
She's never really achieved...
No.
..that look.
No. But talking of attractive women, Deb doesn't look bad as a lady, does he? kind of looked at it going, if he's got... He's alright as a woman.
Yeah, he can pass.
He can pass the woman. You don't look at it going, that's clearly a man dressed in woman's clothing. Do you?
No.
There you go.
Ben, whatever makes you feel better.
Just start to throw that out there. And did you know it was Martin Landau playing the...
Yes, because I saw his name on the credits.
Is that... But other than that, you wouldn't have...
No, I don't really know what they did to his face to make him...
Because I recognised the voice and was kind of thinking, that sounds like Martin Landau. So then went classic, IMDb'd it, then had a look and went, oh, it is him, in heavy, but he didn't look like heavy prosthetic.
No.
If you told me that's what the actor would look like, then...
Well, he did a good Legosi.
Yeah. And then there's one more for me, which is another example of someone that's achieved more than I have by the age of 30.
Yes. I know it's that bit when he was in bed,
yeah. Orson Welles.
Yeah.
I thought that. So Orson Welles had made Citizen Kane at 26 years old, and he's been... It's like, oh, God, come on. When did the 20s become when you have to make all your achievements?
No, I'm sure there's a timeline somewhere that shows the older people... Like, the guy who founded Ronald McDonald...
found that clown.
Oh, God. Whatever his name is... Michael Keaton's playing he didn't start McDonald's till he was like 80 or something, was it?
Oh, okay.
It was something like really ridiculous. Oh, wow. Yeah. I'll find that for you, Ben. It might make you feel
that's
better.
That will make me feel better.
Yeah.
If I know I've got till 80 to achieve to my success, then I can
sit around for the next 50 years.
Yeah, right, that's what I mean.
I just put Uncle Bill's there as well.
Yeah, we've got Uncle Bill.
We've got to get him in every episode. And the fact that Bela Lugosi was in it reminded me of the Universal Monsters and how much I love those, and we might be doing an upcoming Halloween episode. So.
Oh, that's a great idea. Do Universal Horror. Yeah, all over that.
Anyway, I mean, I haven't put it on Letterboxd yet, but it's going to be a 2-star, isn't it? Just like, do you know what it is? I'm probably more interested in watching his films now that I've seen that.
Yes.
Rather than learning about him, it'll take me on into actually watching
absolutely
some of his monster movies.
I wanted to, yeah. Just purely to find out about Ed Wood, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
But I wanted to, and yeah, I wanted to watch. I've never seen Plan 9 from Outer Space. I've heard of it, I know of it, because it's notorious. Yeah,
but it does make you go, just look at that.
Exactly, yeah.
So it did that job.
It's alright.
As all
film
right.
go, it's alright. Next biopic. We went completely, well, actually, linked, because Black and White again.
Yes.
Like we planned it.
Yeah. Of course.
So Black and White to Black and White, but this one...
Was... something was wrong with my TV.
Well, it's films in Black and White. I'm not sure why this had to be in Black and White. I know, I understand the Ed Wood being in Black
and White.
I think
just aesthetic.
I don't know if I like that.
Because, like, the Joy Division... sorry, it's Control.
Yeah.
2007, the story of Ian Curtis, troubled Joy Division
I'm glad
singer.
You knew that, because I hadn't written his name down and I forgot who it was about. No.
How can you not know?
No,
I was excited about this one.
Yeah.
But also, I haven't written a lot because, and this sounds really weird, but like, out of respect. Like, I didn't want to make too many jokes because...
It's not a jokey topic, is it?
It's weird. It's like a real... I mean, I know Ed Wood's real, a real person, but this is like... I don't know, it's something weird that, I know about.
It's a tragic story, isn't it? That's the thing. And you know from the beginning that it's a tragic story.
Because it's black and white.
Because it's black and white, yeah. And he looks very somber. I've only got a few things here that was worth note of for Ben's bit.
Okay.
Have you got any Adams asides?
I've got three... they are kind of asides, but they're just three things that I went, oh.
Right. Okay, go for it.
Yeah. Number one was the where he kind of stops the band and he goes, so you're really looking for a singer, and that for me was like the he's gonna go for it moment, which that was just nice. Number two was tell me about Macclesfield.
That's what I've got here. Tell me about Macclesfield. What I've noted down here as is the most disappointing, like, it's the one question or the one statement that can only elicit a disappointing response.
Sat there with a bit of European crumpet.
Exactly. Where are you from? Oh, I'm from this part of
England.
She was Belgian, wasn't she? So,
yeah.
Well, I'm originally from Belgium. Oh, tell me about it. That's great.
Belgium, just close to Bruges, cobbled streets.
Where are you from?
Macclesfield, tell me about Macclesfield.
I think he goes with, it's grey, it's rainy, and I need to get out of there. I was like, there's no good response to tell me about Macclesfield.
No.
If you have one, tweet me at Views from Sofa. If you can tell me what you would put as a response to that, that is better.
Yeah, that's the question.
Yeah.
Now, when it's the live shows, that's actually those guys playing. So, like, I know the guy who's playing Bernie Summers learnt guitar in, like, 2 months just so he could...
It's impressive,
so they could do that. So you've got the Joy Division back catalogue, I presume he had access to, or was allowed to use. He's got this band here, not real life Joy Division, but the actors who can obviously play the stuff. So how does he end the film? The last song he plays as the credits are going over.
Can't remember.
He does. He uses a version of Shadow Play, Joy Division song.
Yeah.
The first one they played on the Tony Wilson show.
Yeah.
They didn't play Transmission.
Afterwards, yeah.
But the Killers' version of it, their cover of it, and that kind of really threw me off.
Yeah. Because why wouldn't you just use their...
Their version, or even the band, the real actors' version. And to me, it was like going, well, right, so you make a film about Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
And then you think, right, credits, I'm going to go with, like, Nirvana's most popular song. I'm going to go with Smells Like Teen Spirit. But I'm going to go with the Ed Sheeran version. Because I think that will really...
I guess the only thing they could be doing is saying, look, we still have an impact. Joy Division still has an impact on music today.
But in that Venn diagram of the Killers and Joy Division, it's not even...
No, it's not. So I didn't even notice that. I didn't even notice that it
that
was...
That really did something to me. It just made me feel a bit, like, uneasy.
I've got a couple of things. I'm going to start straight off and go, I'm not a fan of Joy Division. I'm not a fan of Joy Division. And I realise that more is, I love, like, Love Will Tear Us Apart is an unbelievable song and is great. But the rest of it's just a bit, not my kind of music.
Okay.
That's fine. I mean, I was watching it with my wife. She loves them, so I felt like it was by proxy. That was all right.
Mm-hmm.
Have got down here, Ian Curtis tries to commit suicide once before and leaves the single worst suicide note ever, which is, I love you, I'm sorry, to his wife. Also, could you tell my mistress I love her too? I was watching it, ooh, that's a bit, ooh, that's not how you, even as he was going to commit suicide, he's still been a bit of a dick. He's not a nice, Ian Curtis is not a, he's a troubled soul, isn't he?
Well, and the thing is that, like, because I had a little bit of a Google while I was watching it as well, because I was interested to know whether his daughter, what had happened to his daughter.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
And she was quite happy with the film, but I think a lot of people within that circle had kind of gone, actually, he was like really warm and funny and a bit of a joker. Oh, right. And, you know, that doesn't... I know they have to dramatise it and kind of play up that,
yeah,
that kind of intensity and stuff like that, but I think in real life he was actually a bit more...
Because it does paint him absolutely as like a isolated, cold, you know, really difficult person to be around. And you think to yourself, that can't be the case. If he's managed to have two women at the same time that really adore him and love him that much, there must be some, you know...
Well, he can answer the Macclesfield question.
yeah, he's got a great answer for what to tell you about Macclesfield. And then there was another moment that was, again, kind of like me cringing, which was when he's walking with his wife and he really... He doesn't want to break up with her, but he wants to kind of let her know that he doesn't love her anymore and says, you know, it's okay if you want to sleep with other men. And she stops, and she goes, is that a joke? To which point, I shouted verbally at TV, say yes. Just say, that's your moment there. She's giving you an out there. Just say yes. Yes, it is. Ah, you thought I was serious.
I'm a practical joker.
Oh, gee. You know. Yeah, there was that kind of moment. And there was a couple of like that where they have conversations, and you're like, oh, you're not handling this very well, are you?
Well, he even got his manager to break up with
him. Yeah. What do you think?
Well, I came at it from, I was interested because it was Joy Division.
Yeah.
But then after my Googling, it looks very dramatised and maybe not as close to the source material as it should have been. And that, I know it's really sad, but that little killers thing at the end, that's really bugging me.
Yeah.
Really bugging me.
Fair enough. Has that tainted it for you a little bit, has it?
Yeah. I think you finish with Love Will Tear Us Apart. Well, you finish with whatever you want, but not here is someone else doing Joy Division.
Yeah, but their music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I give it 2. I give it, okay. I probably don't need to watch it again now.
No, I gave it I went good with this. I liked it. So I gave it a 4. I really liked it.
If it wasn't,
I think,
about someone famous, would it still be an enthralling story?
That's a good question.
If it's just
that's
someone with
question.
Epilepsy. If you took all the fame out of it.
If you wanted to make a film about a doomed singer who had epilepsy, which was a big part of why he commits suicide, the question is, would you make that movie? Would you change anything about that movie? Would his story be interesting enough as it is? That's the thing.
Yeah.
No. I think, you know, it's a good question. Would it still be a decent film if it wasn't a biopic? Probably not. You definitely wouldn't care as much, would you?
No, if it was all a fictional band.
If it was just a fictional, you'd just turn around and go, why should I care about this? Absolutely. Yeah. He does a lot of dickish things. And that's the issue. It's like, he's a bit of a dick.
Is he a bit of a Davy Brent?
No, dick. Yeah, I suppose, yeah. He's not as desperate David Brent. And really badly, I kind of prefer David Brent's music.
Oh!
He's got some good songs.
Uh-oh.
We'll move on.
Okay, here's a question for you then.
Here we go.
If you were Ian Curtis, would you hate that biopic of yourself?
Yes. If it's like you just said it was, then yes, I'd say so. Because yeah. if that's a good question. I tell you what. What age am I? So let's say I don't commit suicide, obviously.
Okay.
And if it's at the height of my career, probably yes. If I'm like 80 years old, looking back, having had a decent career, looking at it going, you know what? I was a bit of a... I was a bit like that, wasn't I? Yeah. Sorry, guys. But yeah. I think it always depends on how accurate it is and at what point in your career you're at. Is it going to affect you any further?
I only asked this because...
I knew it was leading to something else.
August 25th, yeah, this popped up on my thing. Britney Spears is having a biopic made, but she said she's not going to contribute to it anywhere. She's having no kind of input into what the biopic of her life will look like.
Right.
Nor does it have her blessing.
Now, the question is, has she done that knowing what it's going to be about? So has someone shown her a script and gone, here you go, Britney, here it is, we've called it Crossroads.
And... well, we've called it Britney.
That's your moment to come up with a title, we'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, that's your moment, come up with something else. But, yeah, I'm just thinking of other titles now, of songs you could have had it for. Toxic. Maybe. Yeah, you get a different side of me here. So, she looked at the script and gone, well, no, I don't want you to. Why have you focused at least 40 minutes on this at the bit where I was bald?
Well, this is the other thing that I was trying to look into. It's like, who owns the right? Like, do you own the rights to your life as a story? It's weird. Because I think people can just make films about you without your.
They absolutely can, because of some of the things I've got here. Because Lifetime are really bad for that, of making unofficial. So like a documentary I watched like last month was about that serial killer Audrey
Hepburn.
The lesser known story of Audrey Hepburn, the serial killer. No, Eileen.
The monster one.
The monster one.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a film before the Charlize Theron one that was made without her consent, and she was going crazy about it because it made her look like a serial killer.
Oh, right, you've got me on two strands here.
Oh, here we go then, come on.
Right, strand one is people who hated their own biopics.
Yeah, I knew that's where this was going from the moment you said it.
Oh, God.
And
all right. So, number one, I'll just run through this because there's only a few. So, number one, Mark Zuckerberg, The Social Network.
Understandable. Doesn't make him look very good at all.
It's pretty interesting to see what parts they got right and what they got wrong. I think they got every single T-shirt that they had the Mark Zuckerberg character wear right. I think I own all of those T-shirts.
Oh!
What a dick.
Yeah.
Hunter Patch Adams wasn't happy with Patch Adams. The film. I didn't know he was a real person.
I knew it was a real person, but that
He's
film
a good doctor and the founder of the Gesundheit Institute.
So he uses humour to cure people, was the idea.
After the movie, there wasn't a single positive article about our work or me. There were dumb, stupid, meaningless things. It made my children cry. They actually thought that they didn't know the person they were reading about. I knew the movie would do this. He continued, I would become a funny doctor. Imagine how shallow that is relative to who I am. I just got back from taking 17 clowns to Cuba. which was hit by the worst hurricane in their history. The month before that, we took 30 clowns from 7 countries to Russia for the 17th year in a row. So it was more, it didn't focus on the charity stuff. It was like, oh, he's just a funny person.
Can I just say, because the film doesn't paint him as a, but it's a positive film about his work. Yeah. But I suppose if you're saying, well, if you've just
it's
narrowed all my work
it, yeah.
down to, I use comedy, I'm a funny guy.
Julian Assange, WikiLeaks. What's the film? The Fifth Estate, Benedict Cumberbatch. But Assange calls it toxic, deceitful and wretched.
Not seeing it. I don't know if I've got much interest in it.
No. Sarah Palin did not like Game Change. There you go. David Letterman had one done in The Late Shift. He didn't like it. The guy who's playing me, I'm sure he's a fine actor, but his interpretation seems to be that I'm, well, a circus chimp. Okay. Winnie Mandela didn't like the film Winnie.
Right.
The romantic life of Winnie Mandela, I think it's an insult. I don't know what would be romantic in our bitter struggle. It's people getting hold of the not what's important in people's lives, maybe. Ike Turner in What's Love Got to Do with It?
He was never going to like that, though, was he, really? That's not really his biopic.
And then one I'm on the fence about, because it's Uncle Bill playing Hunter S. Thompson in Where the Buffalo Roam.
Okay.
And Hunter S. Thompson, the gonzo journalist, yeah, fueled upon drugs, all this, played by Johnny Depp. Oh, look at all this linking back.
It's great, isn't it?
In Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas and The Rum Diary.
Oh, say, I was going to Rum
Diary. Oh, you're not going to get over me on Hunter S. Thompson, yeah. Ben. You obviously don't look at my shelves. So Thompson said, it's a horrible pile of crap. Bill Murray did a good job, but it was a bad script. You can't beat a bad script. It was just a horrible movie, a cartoon, but Bill Murray did a good job. So there you go.
What did he think of the other two?
He was dead by then.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was...
well, I suppose, yeah, for Rum Diary, he was suicide as well. Was he?
Yeah.
I'm now realising I know very little about Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah, well. My second bit, though, where was I going? Oh, yes, because you said, aha, before they made that monster film, they made that monster film.
Yeah.
And there's instances, so these are called twin films.
Okay.
And apparently what happens is, someone goes, we're making this film, and someone else goes, yeah, well, we're making one like that as well.
Yeah.
Some examples are...
I'll tell you a couple that I know of.
Have you done some already?
Well, not really. There's Steve Jobs. He had two.
Yeah.
So you've got Steve, you've got Jobs, and then...
Do you want to just stick to biopic ones? Because I've got a list of them.
Oh, well, if you've got the biopic ones. But I know of other twin films anyway, because, I mean, you've got White House Down and Olympus Has Fallen.
Yeah, it's all...
Got Deep Impact and Armageddon.
So this is... seven times Hollywood made the same biopic twice. God. So, you've got Jobs and Steve Jobs.
What's this? I thought the second one was called Steve Jobs. You'd have thought they'd change the name for it, but...
There's Saint Laurent and Yves Saint Laurent.
Yeah.
Both made, like, in the same year or whatever. Coco Chanel and Igor Stravinsky. And Coco before Chanel. Burton and Taylor, or the alternative, the opposite one, which I would probably prefer, Liz and Dick.
Is one of them stars...
Lindsay Lohan.
Which one's the one that stars Lindsay Lohan?
Liz and Dick.
Liz and Dick, obviously. I don't know why.
Helena Bonham Carter.
I've seen the Helena Bonham Carter one. That's really good.
Yeah. Capote and Infamous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In Cold Blood's his book, isn't it? But yeah.
Yeah, because so I thought, because you'd mentioned that last time,
yeah, because one's like the Philip Seymour Hoffman, I Won an Oscar,
yeah,
and the other one's Toby
Jones. Yeah,
because I was reading about that this week, really randomly asked him, you know, are you bitter that got all the attention, yours didn't, and he's like, no, Hoffman nailed it, so can't argue.
Hitchcock, Anthony Hopkins,
yes,
one of our favourites on Views on the Server,
yeah.
And HBO did a series called The Girl.
Yeah, I'll get rid of that question there.
And then you've got Hawking and The Theory of Everything.
I'd never heard of Hawking.
No.
See, I'd seen The Girl and Hitchcock, and that's Toby. Unfortunately for Toby, that's him again.
Is that what he's known as now?
I guess so. The guy, the also almost.
Do you want any other twin? Just I've got a list of.
Oh, you got a few.
Films,
you've got a couple,
but
more.
They're not biopics, but. Should we work from newest back, because we know stuff like this down here, don't we? Jungle Book and The Jungle Book, which you've obviously
talked about before. Jungle Book Origins.
Marguerite and Florence Foster Jenkins, which is both about...
Yeah, we talked about her. Last pod has lost.
But there's another film, Marguerite, is about her as well.
It's one's a documentary that's got her, and then they've got a Mel Street version.
Unfriended and Friend Request.
Now, I've got a lot of time for Unfriended. I like that film.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. But would you watch Friend Request?
No, Friend Request looks awful.
Olympus Has Fallen, White House Down, A Hijacking and Captain Phillips.
Okay.
Battleship and Pacific Rim.
They're not the same film.
Well, I don't know. Do I? What do I know? No Strings Attached and Friends with Benefits.
Yeah, that's the same movie.
Despicable Me and Megamind.
Oh, that's a bit harsh.
I don't know. The Zodiac and Zodiac. Also, Curse of the Zodiac. United 93, Flight 93. It's just weird, isn't it?
Would it put you off if you're a budding young director and you found out that someone, that Hollywood was making a bigger budget film of your film? Would you go, oh, I'm not going to bother then?
I don't know. No, it's probably doing Ed Wood.
Yeah,
just go for
just
my
go
vision.
For it anyway. Yeah.
Gone in 60 Seconds, The Fast and the Furious. We're both within a year.
Yeah.
Each other. The Legend of Titanic and Titanic. Yeah, all right. Truman Show and Ed TV.
I see, they're different enough for me.
Dante's Peak and Volcano.
Yeah, that was a famous one.
Tombstone and Wyatt Earp. Jurassic Park and Carnosaur. Of course.
Oh yeah, that famous rival there. I remember that. I remember Spielberg being really rubbish about, really worried about Carnosaur. Like, what am I going to do? I've spent those. Look, we've got Jeff Goldblum, and they've got a dodgy puppet.
My last one, I'll go for Shaft and Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song. Oh, right. One last thing on biopics.
Go on, then.
Because before you said, Johnny Depp looks like Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
And Sam Riley, who played Ian Curtis, looked quite like
Ian
Curtis.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, that's fair. He did.
Aha, so they didn't have to do much work. But what about people who had to transform to become the people that, like, they were playing?
Like Martin Landau in that. Yeah. You wouldn't have known that was Martin Landau.
So we've got James Franco as James Dean. Uncanny. No, he's not done much there.
No.
There was no makeup needed. He got so into the role, he took up a smoking habit during filming. And he learnt how to play the bongos and ride a motorcycle.
I'd take those
quite a transformation.
Take up a smoking habit.
Daniel Day-Lewis as Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, that was fair. That was fair. But that was, wasn't that just slap a beard on him?
Well, he spent a year studying Lincoln and paid close attention to every detail, including his voice. He reportedly spoke in Lincoln's voice between takes, and even after filming was over. I know you love that.
We talked. That would bug me.
Do
you have to refer to him as Mr. President all the way through the film? That would bug me. Just call him Dan and be done with it.
Michelle Williams being Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, that's fair.
No, that's a fair one. So, to get the trademark wiggle, she practiced walking with her knees tied together. So there you go.
Yeah, okay.
Eddie Redmayne as Stephen Hawking.
That's brilliant, that one, though. That one's really good.
Spent four months studying his life, and he required a physics tutor and a choreographer to get Hawking's movements just right. Frequently visited a neurology clinic and interviewed patients to make sure he was portraying it accurately. Is
that ALS? I'd take that.
Philip Seymour Hoffman as Capote.
There's not much.
Probably not
there,
much there.
Put some glasses on the guy.
Well, he was a small, diminutive man. No, he didn't shrink.
So Hoffman played on his knees.
He reportedly lost over 40 pounds to play the role. Mastered Capote's unique voice and mannerisms. Okay. Jamie Foxx as Ray Charles.
Wasn't much needed
there. He took things to the extreme.
Poking his own eyes out.
He had his eyes glued shut to mimic blindness.
Shut up. Why?
And endured panic attacks because of it.
Me and you really like Impractical Jokers. And in Impractical Jokers, they do a task where they put a pair of glasses on that are completely blacked out.
Yeah. And they just slap salad.
They can't see you. Just do that. Don't... There's an easier way, Jamie.
DiCaprio's J. Edgar Hoover.
Oh, there's work needed there. There's work needed.
So we're obviously going into more of a transformation here. Makeup and prosthetics for that. They had to age him 50 years for that. Anthony Hopkins as Hitchcock.
Yeah, again, work needed. He looked like Hitchcock in that, to be fair.
Makeup artist, an hour and a half to get him camera ready. Every day, Meryl Streep as Maggie Thatcher, the Iron Lady. She wore a prosthetic face and neck pieces and a set of fake teeth.
She plays her old as well in that as well, doesn't she? So
Eileen Werneress, that's who it is. So Charlie's for this one. She packed on £30 for the role, wore brown contacts and fake teeth. Cate Blanchett as Bob Dylan.
Yeah, there's a really... In that film, three different people play Bob Dylan. And one of them, the big one, was Cate Blanchett, because obviously she's not a man.
Ben Kingsley as Mahatma Gandhi.
Shaved his head.
He shaved his head and lost £20 on Gandhi's own vegetarian diet. Now, I've never... You know, we were talking before, Ben, and we said...
Talk about weight loss, yes,
Gandhi's vegetarian diet.
I mean, it's not a book you usually see in the shops, is it? Not it's not really. next to the Atkins and Slimming World. Try Gandhi's vegetarian diet.
Downey Jr. as Chaplin. Just a moustache and a bowler hat, apparently.
Yeah. Walk in a funny way.
And that's probably... That's about it, really. I thought that was quite interesting, the lengths people will go to. I think Jamie Foxx wins there, gluing your eyes.
That's crazy. I like the fact he had panic attacks. I like the idea that he realised... I like to think this panic attack started the minute he realised what he did.
I can't open my eyes!
And they glued it and he went, how is it? It's really weird. Like, Jamie, who said that? Oh no, what have I done? just crazy. Okay, so, as with every episode of Views from the Sofa, the podcast, I have a game.
Yay!
And it's you in the hot seat rather than me.
I'm going to have to make a game.
I have to start going to you. So what I did was I had a look down biopics and I had a look at the titles of biopics.
Yeah.
And wondered if you could guess who the biopic was about from the title. So
are these real biopics?
These are all real biopics. Okay. I went and had a look at them. They're all actual genuine movies. Some are big blockbuster successful ones. Some of them are a bit more obscure, usually done by like TV movies for like Lifetime and stuff like that.
Okay.
Now, I've got multiple choice for them.
Oh, okay.
But what I might do is give you the title, see if you know it straight off.
See how far I can get.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So we're going to start with a nice, easy, recent, pretty popular one, Saving Mr. Banks.
It's Tom Hanks.
He is in it, yes. Who's he playing?
Mr. Banks.
He's not playing Mr. Banks. That's why it's a cheat, you see. He's not playing Mr. Banks.
I don't actually know.
Is he playing Julian Assange?
Off of WikiLeaks.
Off of WikiLeaks. Steve Jobs?
Off of Apple.
Or Walt Disney?
Off of Disney.
Off of Disney.
I thought... Did he not do... Was Tomorrowland the Disney one?
Tom Hanks is in Tomorrowland. George Clooney's in Tomorrowland.
Well, I'm going to go Disney then.
He is playing Walt Disney. You know what it's the story of?
Julian Assange. And Steve Jobs. Digitalise Walt Disney.
No, leak everywhere, yeah. The story of Mary Poppins. And Mr. Banks was...
Jane and Michael Banks.
Yeah. So that's... Well, you still got one. Still got it.
Ding. Oh, because I just got the actor.
Because you got who it was, didn't you? You got Walt Disney.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Nowhere Boy.
Doesn't really...
No, it wouldn't do. It shouldn't do. I should be able to go Nowhere Boy and you go, well, that's obviously... Is it Ringo Starr?
Right. Off of the Beatles. And Thomas the Tank Engine.
And Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh, I wish it was that story.
And how Ringo
voiced the Fat Controller.
I heard a great thing where it's just why pick Ringo Starr for that? He's got no emotion. It's
just sending kids to sleep.
Yeah. John Lennon.
Okay. Off of the Beatles.
Off of the Beatles. Or Paul McCartney.
You know, I spent most of my Saturday night discussing the conspiracy theory that Paul McCartney has been dead for like 60 years. There's a massive conspiracy.
Based on that
he's been being played by a double.
The greatest biopic role of all time. Convincing the world that Paul McCartney's still alive.
Yeah, there was things like saying, well, if you look at the Abbey Road cover, he's the only one who hasn't got shoes on, and that means he's dead.
I always like that. I always like the idea that if people are wanting to keep a conspiracy and a cover-up, don't put hints in things to show it. Why would you do that? Why would you
because
go...
Because it's that thing of going, they need that recognition of we've pulled a fast one. I don't know. Yeah. It's probably John Lennon, though.
It is John Lennon. Yeah. Absolutely John Lennon. Well done. Stan.
It's not Stan Lee.
It's not Stan Lee.
How many other Stans do I know? Oh, is it going down that Hardy? Room.
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Yes, it is. You got that. Didn't even go with my... I went with Stanley Matthews or Eminem. But oh. It is. It's Laurel and Hardy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair play. It's 3 out of 3. In the Light of the Moon.
And sounds like a song lyric. Is it? It's not from Moon River.
It's not from Moon River.
It's not Audrey Hepburn, the serial killer, the Lost Years.
I'm going to go down the list.
Okay.
Is it Neil Armstrong?
Oh, okay. Off of the Moon.
Off of the Moon. Ed Gein.
Serial killer.
Or Hitler. I made it easy for you.
Can't really sum him up there, can I? It's going to be Neil Armstrong then.
No. It's not Neil Armstrong. It's Ed Gein.
Okay.
The serial killer. His is called In the Light of the Moon.
Ooh.
Really random.
Maybe it's because he's murdering him at night. And
I guess so.
I don't know his full story. I know they did make another film of his.
Oh, some of these people have got like 4 or 5, but the problem with this is like most of them, they went, what are we going to call our film about Ed Gein? Why don't we call it Ed Gein?
Yeah.
All right, yeah, fair enough. Mrs. Brown.
Not that shit BBC comedy.
No, not Mrs. Brown's Boys. No.
All right, maybe it's the Mrs. Brown.
Mrs. Brown from that, it's based on that.
Mrs. Brown. Brown. Yeah, no famous Browns coming to mind.
Is it about James Brown?
Okay.
Is it about Queen Victoria?
Okay.
Or is it about Hitler? You might see a running theme with at least one of these people. When I'm going, who could I have as a third option?
But that was Ava Braun.
Oh.
Not Brown. Because that's Brew. Is it?
James Brown, Hitler or Queen Victoria? Are you going for?
Brown. I'm going James Brown.
It's Queen Victoria.
What?
It's Billy Connolly and Judi Dench.
Yeah.
And Billy Connolly plays a Mr. Brown. And they were so close, it was almost like a married couple, so it's like they got really, really close to the point where people were getting a bit nervous about this interloper. And they started, it was almost like she was Mrs. Brown, she was his wife kind of thing.
But she was the queen.
She was the queen, she was Queen Victoria. So, Innocence Lost.
Innocence Lost. Michael Jackson.
No, it's not Michael Jackson. That's great, isn't it? Is it Jesus? Madonna? Or Richard Nixon?
Innocence. The ones that you've picked to multiple choice with.
Yeah.
Have you picked for a reason?
I've picked because when you look at it, you could kind of go, I can see why you call it Innocence. I've been... Yeah, I've tried to pick. So
I'm going to go Madonna.
Yeah, it's Madonna. That kind of gave that away, really. She doesn't need... Yeah, but it is Madonna. Does she have an album called Innocence Lost?
Ah.
Maybe you're a closet Madonna fan.
Nope.
The Miracle Continues.
Jesus.
No, this one's not Jesus.
Michael Jackson.
Not Michael Jackson either. Is it Jesse Owens?
Olympian.
Helen Keller.
No, because I've seen Helen Keller's biopic, and as we know, it was against the Night Wolves.
That's true. Of course it was. I've been so stupid. Or was it Princess Diana?
Oh!
It's difficult.
It's good. You've been very sneaky. Or just good at... The miracle. I'm going to go with Princess Di, then.
It was Helen Keller.
Oh no, there is no Night Wolves 2.
Well, I think this was before the Night Wolves.
Oh.
So it's, yeah. King.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, yeah.
Elvis.
No. Is it Henry VIII?
Well, he was a king. Was he? King Henry, yeah.
Yes, I don't guess. Hitler.
He was a king.
Or Martin Luther King.
You've thrown Hitler in everywhere, Ben.
I know.
One of them's got to be about him, and it's not King, because then that makes me look like a follower. Martin Luther King.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Of course it is. Hitler, my part in his downfall. It's hit. Hitler. Winston Churchill.
Hang on, who is it about?
Yeah, who's it about? Hitler, my part in his downfall. The autobiography. So is it Hitler, Winston Churchill, or Spike Milligan?
It's so random you put him in there, it's got to be Spike.
Yeah, it's Spike Milligan. I just like the idea that Spike Milligan's autobiography is called, or his biography, biopic is Hitler, my part in his downfall. I thought I had to go in there. Plus it's Hitler themed.
Spike.
Well, two more. Saint Joan.
Of Arc.
Maybe.
Joan
of Arc, Joan Collins at Calamity Jane. But yeah, you're right, Joan of Arc. No, I didn't. You thought I'd go Joan of Arc, Joan Collins, Hitler, The Bunker. Is it Leonardo da Vinci, Winston Churchill, or Adolf Hitler? This is your last one.
You've got to be Hitler. It's got.
Yes, of course it's Hitler.
Yeah, it's got to be. Stop making me second guess myself.
So there we go. So we've got... You did very well there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 out of however many there is here. So, very good.
Pow! Here's a question then, man.
Go on.
If you were going to name your own biopic.
Ah, right,
your
okay.
Our biopic.
Well...
What would you name?
Mine... I love this title, and... It was nicked by... Well, it wasn't nicked. I never came up with it in the first place. But it's been used on something else of inferior quality. It's been used on a really poor BBC Three sitcom. But I love the title of it. And this is what I would call it. Bad Alt.
Bad Alt.
Bad Alt. So sure. Adult with bad at the front.
Bad at being an adult.
Yes, it's precisely that. Bad Alt. I really like it. I thought it was great. It's called... The BBC Three thing's called Bad Alts. And it looks like a crazy, zany, weird... Three goofy people. But I just like the idea of that. The title of mine would be Bad Alt.
Excellent.
Which tells you a little bit about where it would be going with mine, yeah.
That kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah, I get the vibe off that.
Okay, what would yours be called?
Mine is going to be called... Yeah, yeah, I'm sure that's how you spell it.
Now,
maybe brackets like...
That might take some explaining.
Brackets maybe like the struggle with my name. Something like that.
Because to be fair, I only just realised how you even say your name.
Oh.
Was when...
But we're 7D.
We are 7, yeah, we are. It wasn't even a podcast related thing. It was on your stag do. Yeah. I sneakily asked and went, how do you even say his name? How do you even say his name? So it's like, hey now. Hey, some of that. Hey, no, hey, Nat. Go on.
Natchu.
That's it, Natchu. That's it. Natchu.
Yes, yes, I'm sure that's how you say it.
Natchu. Oh, it's the H that threw me.
Yeah. So it's the story
of
my...
So it's the struggle of your... Yeah, that's brilliant.
You know,
that's
that can follow my life journey through primary school when everyone is... You know, when the teachers write stuff and you just trace over it and they're like...
Yeah.
Jones, yeah, and... Yeah. And then they come to mine and go, I'm not even sure how to do it myself.
See, there was a girl I taught who had a very complicated name, and I used to have to almost take a run up. So I could see it was like 12th down the register. So as I'm saying the names, I spotted it, and in my mind, I'm saying Stephen, Chris, Melissa. But in mind, I'm going this, I say, and it's like taking a run up. I do it, and you can tell because I'm doing it really quick. And you can tell the kids going, here he comes, let's see, is he going to manage it? Hey! So.
Now, interestingly, though, I might not make the film about myself. I might make it from other people's perspectives of meeting me. So I'm like the constant through it, but it's like vignettes of people.
Oh, okay.
and their struggles with fire.
So who would play you? Would you have a few people? Just the one?
My first choice was Simon Pegg, but not as he is now.
Okay, so younger Simon
Pegg. Younger Simon Pegg.
Okay.
That was it. I didn't really have a reason. Just
no, I can see it. I can see Simon Pegg. Yeah, it's fair. And the story is people's interactions with you.
Struggling with my name.
Struggling with your name.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Directed by Wes Anderson.
Obviously.
Yeah, nice and symmetrical. Yeah.
I can see that.
Written, though, by the Coen brothers. Because I think with those language nuances and quirks and that, I think they could make some good material out of that. You just have a guy constantly sneezing in one of them, wouldn't you? Achoo! And you're like, yeah, I'm here, that's what it is. Achoo! Yeah, that was fine. What else did I have? Yeah, I've done title, cast. Well, love interest is Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yeah, I knew. See, I was trying to find a way to put her in. I thought, no, she's definitely going to be in your movie, so yeah. I don't have to worry about that.
Soundtrack, rather than score, I've gone, would just be Pixies.
Oh, okay.
Anything Pixar, love Pixies. So, fair enough. And genre, I've just amended so that it will be a monster nudie film.
Obvious. So you're not going with Ed Wood to direct then?
No, not after this. So tell me about Battle then, pitch it to me.
It's about, you see, had a look, when we kind of talked about this beforehand, we said let's pick a moment or let's pick something about the life that would be a film. And I realised, I don't really have a filmic life. So mine's with a touch of me, but it's
dramatised.
So it's essentially me grumbling my way through my job as a teacher, essentially.
Oh, okay.
So Badal is about me just not being a good role model to the kids, not being a good teacher. I'm played. I've aged a bit. I like this because this is who I'm aspiring to be. Have you seen The Nice Guys?
Yes.
You seen Russell Crowe in The Nice Guys?
Yeah.
That's who I want
to be.
So
you're being played by an older Russell
Crowe? I'm being played by an older Russell Crowe. Because I like the way he can sit with a belly. He's got a bit of gruffness about him. Takes no shit from anybody. Love it. I'm absolutely... So I'm played by Russell Crowe, but my wife, and I did check with my real life wife that this was... is played by Emma Stone.
Oh, okay.
Because I love Emma Stone. So, any opportunity. And there's going to be a cool PE teacher, as there always is.
Okay, I get it. Yeah,
That I dislike, because he's just the epitome
of everything. Is he everybody else's? He's
played by Bradley Cooper.
I get it, a little bit of smugness.
You know, but I also like the idea that other people watching would go, why has he got a problem with him? Because that would be it. Everyone else would go, he's really great. What's your problem? And it would be my problem. Grouchy geography teacher, who I kind of get on with.
Yeah.
Uncle Bill.
Best friend material. Yeah.
Uncle Bill. He's been there forever. Yes. He's the guy that's been there for the, you know. And the head teacher is played by a Kate Winslet. Bit of female in there, and she can play a bit of an authority figure, but something about it. I thought I saw it in The Dressmaker, it's another film I'd watched recently, she was right in that. The director, because I think he'd handle this really well, is David O. Russell.
Oh, okay.
Of Silver Linings Playbook and American Hustle and Joy.
Did he do? There was a film I really liked called I Heart Huckabees.
Was that him?
David O. Russell.
Okay.
Yes.
And he's also, he writes these movies as well.
Yes.
And like, you can mix, because the genre is a bit of a drama with a touch of comedy.
Yeah.
So it's that funniness, got like it was in Silver Linings Playbook and Joy. There was a bit of comedy to it, but it's a drama. Not a fan of Joy?
No, I'll tell you that one. I less wanted to watch it, and basically it was a film about a mop on it, so... No, not a fan of that, man.
Fair enough. And I don't really have... There's two elements to the soundtrack. I'm realising that any time...
It's not Joy Division.
It's not Joy Division. It's definitely not Joy Division. First of all, a lot of it would be me grumbling to all the crappy dance music the kids are listening to in my classroom.
Okay.
So there'd be that element of it all the way through. Yeah. Oh, God. But any time that House of the Rising Sun is used on a film, I love it, by the Animals.
Okay.
I absolutely love it. So like when it's used at the beginning of Suicide Squad, it was used at the beginning of another film I watched recently, and it's just a really cool song. So maybe as I'm pulling up to the school, this dreaded school, that tune's playing. That's kind of going to be the one. Really like that. And that's my biopic. So what I'm going to do
is ask for funding.
We're going to do a Kickstarter. What I'm going to do, because what we have, I want a bit more audience participation. So I'm going to do a little poll on Twitter of which one would you watch if you can only watch one.
Yours or mine?
Yours or mine. So would you watch Badal or would you watch?
Yes, that's how you say it.
So that's going to be a little Twitter poll and we'll find out next time.
Okay, I like that idea.
Now, it might be that it's a draw 50-50 because both me and you are the only ones voting, but...
I'll vote for yours. Yes. That's fine, I can listen to Pixies anytime.
So there you have it. Good. So, now...
No, we both didn't go for, let's just call it, our names.
We didn't just go for White or, well, or Adam, so...
Speaking of funny last names, and the blind spot we have, because people might be listening going, no, you told us to watch something else as well.
Yeah, sorry about that. You can say it.
Well, the link was that... And it's actually in there as well, is it? In Control.
It is, yeah.
Not the whole mythology. One of the mythology bits about Ian Curtis's suicide is that before it, you watched Stroszek, the Werner Herzog film. We asked you to watch that if you had time.
The German road trip movie.
Yes. Oh, okay, Ben.
Well,
I've got 3 pages of Adam's Asylum on here.
Really? Because, I mean, first of all, what did you think?
Well, I went. I was quite apprehensive to watch it, and not just because I haven't done German since it. I gave this a 4.
Did you really?
I loved it.
I really disliked this film.
Oh,
I really didn't like it.
Argument from the sofa.
Oh.
I wrote down there, actually love him.
did you? He was a bit crazy. It was...
Right, so, as far as I understood, he'd been released from prison.
Yep.
Did we actually find out why he was in prison?
Alcohol-related, wasn't it? Because he gets told, don't take a drink, because whenever you take a drink, you'll end up in prison.
So he comes out of prison and obviously wants to make a better life for himself.
Yes, he does.
And then ropes a couple of people in to help him move to America and live out the American dream.
Yeah. But he doesn't move to New York. He doesn't move to LA. He moves to Wisconsin.
Yeah. Green Bay, Wisconsin. Okay.
All right, why not?
Do you want my asides, or are we just doing a general...
We can take some of your asides. Go for it.
So emptying his pockets. Always carry a bugle.
Yeah. One that when you blow it sounds like a train pulling in.
Always carry that.
Yeah.
But he seemed more bothered about his accordion.
Yeah.
Which then comes into play later.
Yeah.
And then I wrote, is he fucked? Is this ace or is this shit acting? And then a bit further down, I've gone, no, actually, it's ace acting.
Is it?
I think it really is.
Because the first thing I put down after watching for 10 minutes was, is there a script? Because it seemed like they would say stuff and he would react and then everyone around him would take a bit of a gap and then go, okay, and then say something else. Yeah. And he would say something crazy and then they'd have to take another moment. Because there are times when he just doesn't seem to be in a film.
No.
At one point, I double-checked to see it wasn't a documentary. Because when it first comes out, it feels like you're following this guy...
Yes.
...who doesn't know he's in a film. It's really, it's really weird.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the charm.
It was baffling me.
His roommates, his cellmates...
Yes, cellmates, yes.
They seem really fun. Just, lighting farts and shit. That's...
They didn't... Right, you forgot about that, yeah. Yeah.
That's really good. Alcohol, the root and solution to all of life's problems.
Yes.
Like they say in The Simpsons. Post-prison advice. This is good for anyone leaving prison. Keep your fly zipped.
Yeah.
That's one thing they told him as well. Make sure you do that. He promises never to go into a pub again. But he had that... And as soon as he said that, I smiled. I'm going to love this, because the first thing he does is go into a pub. Yeah. And you're like... Yeah!
It does endear you to him.
And there was nothing depressing at this point.
Oh no, it's not just really that depressing for the first 15 minutes. It's just confusing.
And then I was like, just imagine that first post-prison beer. Like, how good that must have been.
And I like that he sat on his own for it, because I think I'd do the same. I wouldn't want anyone around me.
Yeah.
I just would not sit there and savour that beer.
I had lots of reasons in here that led into I love him. And it was things like, they're like, where have you been, Bruno Strasser? Yeah. And he's like, I was on holiday.
but he did a little thing with his hands to show it. Just to show handcuffed. I've been on holiday.
I'm starting a new life today. I thought it was really nice for him. It was like the piano was his best friend. He was just all over the piano, just glad to be back at that. The way that he hugged Herr Scheitz when he first came down. That was really like...
Just really nice, like they haven't seen each other in ages, yeah.
And I liked his little trailer and glockenspiel and accordion type thing. And then the way that he stuck up for Eva in the cafe.
Yeah.
And you just go, he's
a really nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whether he's an actor, I have no idea.
I don't know.
Pretty certainly, you just pulled him off the street and said...
And then I've gone, no, he's accordion. When they broke it. And I've gone, ooh, better than no instrument at all. And some kind of foreshadowing. I don't really know what that means.
I think it was like how everything was going to happen.
1 kilogram of mandarins for Eva. He's just a really sweet guy.
He's really trying to impress her.
And then I went, ooh, spanking.
Yeah, when the two bullies. Here's the question. Did you notice who one of the bullies was?
No.
The blonde bully with the big nose has been in two very major films that I know both me and you will watch and love. And I saw him and thought, he's got to be that guy. He has to be. So went and IMDb'd it and found that he is it
Fat
Vigo from Ghostbusters 2 in the picture.
Vigo.
So I was like, of course he is. Yeah. But then in doing that, found out that the same guy who plays Vigo in Ghostbusters 2 is also the crazy Russian from Die Hard, the first one.
Oh, crikey.
I didn't realise either of those two. I was like, brilliant. Now, if you're going to get bullied, that's the guy to get bullied by. There's a reason to leave Germany, because Vigo's on that case.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Hey, why don't you come with me to the premature babies ward? And then I went, oh shit, that's real.
Yeah. I just wrote with three exclamation marks next to it, stop mishandling the baby.
That was really weird.
It was bizarre. And picking up the foot and just look at his grip and... the whole time going, what is this movie?
And then it was just like the most unlikeliest gang. Just him and Herr Scheiss and Eva, like, it's just brilliantly... like, gonna go wrong.
Yeah.
And I like that he called himself Bruno. Like, third person wise.
Oh, yeah.
And I've put fucky fuck. So for some reason, I think they must have said that. The garage, the waitress, and the optimism. Or they brought the bird. Or they tried to.
Can you believe what kind of place takes a bird from him? I can't remember what kind of bird was it?
It's a minor bird.
Yeah.
The American dream is driving endlessly.
Yeah,
I've got a no there. And then they obviously meet the cousin. Herr Scheitz's nephew or cousin. His cousin's kid or something.
Creepy.
And he went, oh yeah, I've learnt some German. Now, if you were learning, maybe you learnt German at school.
Yeah, I did.
What is the first sentence that you would learn in German?
Well, I mean, I'd like you go with hello, how are you, you know, my name is... And you'd learn some prep for them coming. Things like, this is where you're going to stay, you know, foods, things like that. What's his first sentence, Adam?
Is, was ist los? Der Hund ist los.
That's right, about the dog. What? He's loose, the dog is loose or something, isn't it? Or,
oh, God. Tour guide, tractor. What a welcome, Strashek's cowboy hat. Because he's American now, so he can wear the $10 hat. It's just brilliant. Eli, get me a beer. Don't know why that is. Oh, did someone pull their teeth out as well?
Yeah, he pulls his tooth out with big, huge like pliers.
Yeah.
But which was based on an actual thing that Werner Herzog had seen. He'd seen someone do that. So, like, put it in the film.
Yeah.
But just pulled it out and then went, get me a beer.
Yeah. You like get me beer. Eva's doing good coffee. Every reason to be hopeful. This could work, this American dream.
Like it's happening.
She's doing ace at coffee. They got the trailer house.
Yeah.
And then the bit that killed me, we've made it now. Because you go, not from what I've
heard. It's a guy called Ian Curtis, tells me different, mate.
Yeah, and I thought, is that pathetic fallacy. I don't know. There's some term for it. That thing of building up expectation and then flipping it. And then I was going. I meant to ask you a question, like, because obviously it's Tuesday. So we've just had a bank holiday weekend.
Yes, we have.
I just wanted to know if you've been at the lake with a metal detector.
No, I didn't spend my weekends looking for a dead body. The police can't find him, so I'm thinking I'll go down there. Yeah. And they found a piece of tractor and got very, very excited.
I've got a big black line then, because this is where it goes wrong. Yeah. I've gone, oh no, Eva, you slag. It's all her fault. The bank man comes in, he's a dick, but I couldn't, what gives it away, what makes him a dick? He just had a dickish.
He was so happy. It was the bad news through happiness.
Yeah.
We want to help you, but we can't help you because you're not paying. And it was just the whole, and you know what? Don't worry about it. Because the way we're going to help you, all right, is we're going to take your TV. But no, it's fine. We're going to take your TV. It was just, you're too happy. You're too smiley. Just get out of my house. Get out of my trailer.
And Bruno's looking a bit sad and then comes up with, this is what it looks like when a man is writhing in pain and longing.
Is that when Bruno. He brings the model? You're at that point, yeah.
Yes.
But he brings the model and he tells the story about the bed sheets and the Nazis.
Yeah.
That was actually his story. That was not made. Happened to him.
Because he's called Bruno Strosek.
Yeah, he's called Strosek, yeah.
Clayton's a dick. I think he's the cousin.
Yeah, the cousin starts being a bit creepy.
Small change, small dick. No. I'm just talking about myself.
Stream of consciousness, though.
And another arrow to, oh no, Eva. I think that's where she, like,
that's where
I'm
she
going to Vancouver.
To yes.
See you later. Then the auction gibberish.
Now, what is that about? What is that about?
I think we should do a whole episode on that. Hello, when we use my summer man,
but you can't even hear what you've bid. It was mental.
Well, actually, I've put next to it. I've put Herzog dragging it out. Is it a reflection of Strosek and his not understanding of language and what's going on? And then that he kind of like backs away.
Yeah, because he slowly moves through the crowd and just leaves it, doesn't he? But that's nice.
After you rob a bank. Go shopping.
Across the street.
Go across the street. And then go shopping. And Mr. Shites is arrested.
Would you take it seriously if Mr. Shites walked in there with a shotgun? Like, if he walks in with a shotgun.
I don't know.
Because it was all a bit comical farce. It was a bit...
Yeah.
If you didn't know that there was going to be a very depressing... Not very depressing, but a depressing ending, you'd have thought it was a little bit on the border of comedy and farce.
I've put I think it's the poster of it, or the thing on IMDb, it's like, spontaneous and hilarious, you know, like, there's some really funny bits. Maybe I've got a dark humour. Maybe. I don't know. Mr. Shites arrested, get out of there. Okay. Subtitles, soundtrack, lyrics by Chet Atkins.
Don't know. Okay.
That must be something. Kaput. Oh yeah, his truck's kaput. Ava's gone. His house has been sold. It's all winding down.
You know where it's
going.
Up.
And then, oh, he shot himself.
Yeah. Spoilers.
Oh, but
yeah, you skipped over.
Well,
the bit.
No,
where
no, no.
I was.
Oh, gone.
Because at this point, I'm like, I'm lost. I'm losing the will to live. It's a little bit like I'm just utterly confused by the whole thing. And then he goes into the fun fair bit.
The animal
with the animal fun fair where they're doing things. Like they're pressing buttons and the chicken dances. And you press another button, the rabbit runs and pretends to be a fireman. And it's genuine animals doing these things. I'm like, I've just put here dancing animals ? Like, what am I watching?
Well, now the ending, or the controversy around the ending, I don't know whether it's, oh, he shot himself, whether that's the controversial bit that they didn't like.
I guess so.
Like that he's killed himself.
I assume that was it.
Or whether it's the dancing chicken.
Oh, okay, because it is just that endless...
Yeah, but, which is obviously symbolic of something, but in the just to bring it back to Joy Division, in their, what's it called? Like their best of kind of... The box set thing. There is, in each of the like sleeves or whatever, I've written this down somewhere, yeah. So the inner groove of side one of their posthumous live album Still appear the words, "The Chicken Won't Stop." Sides two and three have chicken footprints, and side four, the words, "The Chicken Stops Here."
Yeah. Because there's that really weird line that was jarring. It was really weirdly said until you realise the chicken, they're going to focus on the chicken, because he goes, someone's messed with the electricity, the cable car's going round, and the chicken won't stop dancing. And when he said that, it was like, that's not important, that's really bizarre. And then they do show that the chicken just keeps dancing and dancing and dancing and resetting it, and it's just, it's
got to be some kind of symbolism of, well, you can't break the cycle of...
Yeah.
Of something, or...
Can't escape it.
No.
Trapped in your life. I mean...
The word is captivated. If not, even if that doesn't mean enjoyment or anything, I just wanted to know what was going on and watch what was going on.
I didn't enjoy it. It was interesting. I didn't enjoy it. It was it was just strange.
Does it make you want to watch any more Werner Herzog?
I've seen two of his documentaries. One I loved, which is Grizzly Man, which is brilliant.
Is that the guy who lived with the bear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then another one called Into the Abyss, which wasn't as good, a little bit dry, about death row and people living on death row. But then he did a TV show for the BBC, which was similar to that, where they looked at individual cases, which was much better. So he can do some really good stuff. There's the one that I want to see, but kind of don't want to see, which is the Aguirre Wrath of Aguirre or something like that.
Is he the Brazilian...
Something like that. It's the big boat and all the rest of that stuff. It's meant to be brilliant, but I also know it's probably like this, and I know it's about 3 hours long, so it's like... Oh, here we go then. So...
Well, we've got a split here on
you. I've not picked it for a blind spot, don't worry about it, but...
We've got a split on you on the sofa. And possibly split about the ending.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that takes us nicely, actually, because they had controversy over the ending.
It's like we planned it and wrote it on the whiteboard.
Isn't it? Because our next one is looking at twists and unexpected endings and twisty plots. Because it's become a huge thing now in films to have twist endings. And some films are known for their twist endings.
I've written some down.
Go for it.
Just to see if you're kind of in agreement with these things. The Game.
Never seen it. Never seen The Game.
Please tell me it's on your blind spot.
It is now.
Okay. Fight Club.
Yes, obviously.
Usual Suspects.
Yes.
Memento.
Yes.
Psycho.
Yes.
Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
Truman Show. I'm not sure where I wrote that down. It's not really a twist. I'm going to get rid of that. I didn't mean that.
The twist doesn't have to be at the ending either. I mean, the twist can change the film halfway through or something like that, but... But yeah, all those are exactly what I'm talking about. Twist endings. Endings where you go, oh, that sometimes improve the film, sometimes make it way worse. So, I mean, obviously that means we're looking at blind spots. I almost... Because there was another one I put down here that I thought that you would just say, yes, we definitely have to watch that anyway. So, I'm going to get rid of the other two I had.
Oh, no.
And I'm going to make you... pit between two here that I've got. So you've got The Game, which I do want to see. It's the only David Fincher film I've not seen.
Okay.
Or, and you might be able to tell me if this has got twist in it. It's a bit of research to find out films with twists and things like that. But it's difficult because I want to find the film with a twist without knowing what the twist is.
Yeah.
Mulholland Drive.
Which was just started like number one film.
Was it?
Yeah, I sent you that BBC
list. Was that Mulholland Drive that was that one? Yes, it was. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So what do you reckon? Is it a twist? Is it for our purposes?
Not really. It's if you thought Strashek was confusing, then Mulholland Drive is not going to be an easy 2.5-3 hours.
Not an easy watch.
Not an easy watch. It's so awesome. It's just got voted number one film by 177 critics. there is a kind of twist in there. There's a few twisty turnies, and you go, what the fuck is going on?
I might go.
It's all open to interpretation.
I might go the game.
The game's a little bit more straightforward.
I think that'll
it's
be
very
easier.
Finchery.
I think we'll go the game, and then I know that we might do a Lynch thing.
We should do that.
We'll
we should do
Lynch,
some Lynch.
And I will leave Mulholland Drive for then.
Right.
So what have you got?
I've got three
okay.
for you to choose from. As always, I've kind of tried to be a bit...
Okay, fair. I want to see if any of the ones I'd pick for.
Ambitious. So, the first one I've gone for is Citizen Kane.
Okay.
For the exact opposite reason you said, because I have an inkling about the twist or the mystery or whatever, but even with it being voted the top film for the past century or whatever kind of thing, I've still never seen it.
Okay.
And I kind of want to put that, this is what I know about it, with the film and go, that's it, I've done it, I've watched it.
Yeah.
So that's one choice.
Okay.
On the theme of endings, I've also chosen Clue, because there are three endings to the film. You know okay. I wasn't going to do
yeah,
this.
Yeah, of course you weren't. Of course you weren't. So Clue.
There are three endings.
Would I, if we're going to do this... We have to find all three endings. Take it, or is the three endings within
I
the film?
I think the three endings are within,
oh, within the
film.
Yeah. So part of the film. So it's not like two.
No.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Then. All right then. Yeah. Okay.
See, I always do. I like pick that. Three ace ones. So it's
you do.
And then what I thought I would do is go right. So the twist ending, like who did that? Who came up with that? And the earliest known film with the twist ending is the I'm going to have to... Let me find it, because I've only wrote his surname down. The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari from 1920.
Okay.
Is apparently the first... If you kind of research it a bit, that's people are like, yeah, that's the film that kind of pioneered the twist ending. Oh, you know what I'm like, Ben. I can't just choose normal.
Right. We ain't watching four. We're definitely watching the game.
I choose too many. I know, this is my problem.
Well, the idea was we chose three, and the other person chose it for us. But it turned out that both of us, what we usually do is go, oh, I kind of want to watch that as well.
The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari is 1 hour 18.
Yeah, I was thinking we do that one.
Clue is... I presume it's that one. Oh, it's John Landis as well. Is I haven't got a run time for it here.
That's alright, so...
Oh, 1:34.
Okay.
Oh, they're remaking it as well, apparently.
And Citizen Kane's a good 2 hours.
Citizen Kane, 2 hours.
I think we do. I think we do the game... You know what I want to do? I just want to watch the ball, but...
Well, we've got a bit more time.
We have got a bit more time. Do all four? Do we do it again?
Do you want me just to pick shit ones?
Just pick one you really want to watch and then just pick two randoms. Or ones you know, twists. Oh, we'll do... I've never seen The Sixth Sense. we'll definitely do The Game. And then Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
See, I've seen Citizen Kane.
Right, let's not do it then. Because that can be in a top...
Yeah, we can do that later. We won't I'll tell you what then. We'll do the game, Cabinet of Dr. Caligari and Clue. And we won't do Citizen Kane. And we can leave Citizen Kane to when we do a different
something
thing. Something more
related.
Exactly.
Kind of thing is.
Perfect.
Yes. Okay, then.
So, for next time, listeners at home... listener. The game... Watch The Game by David Fincher, The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, if you can find it, and Clue, which is a pretty famous film, Clue. You should be able to find that one. So I think all that's left is what-ifs.
Okay.
Do you have a what-if?
Yes. Mine goes on a little bit.
Oh, I'll start with mine. Mine's a straight kind of yes or no, kind of what-if. What if someone handed you the film of your life played out To the end. So you knew how it ended.
Would you watch the end of your
Would
life?
You watch it?
How existential, man.
Knowing that you couldn't change it.
Well...
Knowing that it could be checked. Like, it's just... This is how it's, so, it's going to be.
Yeah, but... So if I sit down and watch the film of my life, part of the film I'm watching will be of me watching the film of my life.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we're going to go to that route, yeah. I'm thinking more like it's the Cliff Notes. There is a bit where you go down the co-op and buy yourself a sandwich and a whisper. It's like, you know what, this film is 38 years long. What?
I think so far.
Now that might be the clue, might
it? Oh, yeah.
Run time.
Yeah, that's probably what I'd do. I'd go, well, how long is it? That's what I would do. Yeah. Would you?
No. There's no way I'd watch it. No. There's no way. What? No good. It, I mean, my first answer when I thought about this was, Who's playing me? Because if you turn around, it's the life of Ben White. Starring Adam Sandler. I'll give it a pass. I'm all right, actually. I don't know why you've cast him, but I'm good. So, you know, directed by Wes Anderson.
I'm all right. Really? I'm having Wes Anderson.
So what's your what if?
Mine is, well, you kind of answered it before about, like, Googling movies and stuff.
Yes.
That have twists but without finding out the twist. So mine was, well, what if there was a website that was basically a spoiler zone?
Yes.
That was the function of the website. So I had a look at one, and there is one called Movie Pooper.
Obviously.
So why Movie Pooper?
Okay.
Okay, because sometimes the surprise spoiler ending is the only reason you'd pay $11 to see what is otherwise a turkey of a film.
Okay.
So maybe you go, oh, everyone's talking about this ending.
Or the twist on it, yeah.
Yeah. Do I really want to watch the full film, or will the end do? You vaguely remember an old movie that had some sort of a plot twist, but you can't remember what it was. So maybe you go on it. You're not interested in seeing that movie, but are dying to know what the hubbub is about anyway. Sometimes your TiVo timer didn't get it quite right and cut off the final crucial minutes of something.
Yeah.
Sometimes you fall asleep watching a mediocre rental and would rather return it than pay two more bucks. No, that doesn't really count. Your trip ends before the infinite flight movie does.
That's, a kicker.
Because sometimes that guy in marketing who's such a jerk to everyone needs to be put in his place, and what better way than to ruin the ending of the movie he's been looking forward to seeing for the past 3 weeks.
That's a dick move.
Dick move.
There is one more. Is there more reasons? Because there's one more I'm thinking about, which... in this day and age, is if you're stuck in a conversation, everyone else is talking about it, and you want to be involved. Just have a quick.
Yeah.
Oh, right, that's what happened. Something. You know, just a quick get yourself clued up.
My other kind of what if that goes with it is, what if it had ended this way? So I found an article on Den of Geek which went through about 50 odd movies and the alternative endings that were either proposed or shot or written, or so, like, oh, what if it had ended this way? So, for example, in Seven, a scene that was storyboarded but never shot was the alternative ending of Somerset killing John Doe instead of Brad Pitt's Mills.
Oh, nice. So
spoilers. We should probably put a spoiler one.
Oh, there's going to be
And on the next
one. And the next one's going to be spoiler filmed.
It would have been a perfectly acceptable ending, blah, 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 but how right the ending they chose to use is. So that was a good kind of...
Yeah?
Yeah. The Birds.
Oh, okay. So The Birds ends with them creeping through all the ravens, crows and everything.
They stop attacking people and sit around while they creep through. Much more fitting was Hitchcock's original plan, which would have seen the ending possibly go down in history as one of the greatest made... An image of San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge swarming with birds.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been like, iconic.
So why did it tell you why you didn't do it?
No, it's just... There you go. Terminator 2. No, just Terminator.
Okay.
The alternate ending was the genuine ending. Why am I confused? Right, so this was supposed to be the ending. So... setting was supposed to set up the sequels. The alternate ending has a group of company suits hiding the Terminator remains from the police during the cleanup at the factory. The film ends by showing the camera panning out from the factory to show it was owned by none other than Cyberdyne Systems.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, that would have been class. Blade Runner. Do you know Blade Runner anyway? No.
Yeah, I know. I know Blade Runner, yeah.
Yeah?
What the alternative ending was going to be? To do with Harrison Ford and whether he was or wasn't.
Yeah, well, that's kind of how they left
it. That's the ambiguous one. Would they have answered it?
With the thing, so this one, which is the original, nervous that they and the audience didn't understand the film. So this is the one they went with.
Okay.
But the director's cut ending is the one that I'm used to, where he's got the little folded up tinfoil unicorn thing, and you go, oh.
See, I've seen the final cut is the one I think.
Yeah,
I,
so that's probably that ending.
The
shitty ending was the one where they used helicopter footage that Kubrick had shot for The Shining.
Oh,
I've
heard
driving
story,
away,
yes.
Harrison Ford doing the voice,
the narration.
Yes. You know, like, we drove away and did
that.
And then the last one I'll give you, because it made me laugh, was Alien.
Okay.
Okay. Where Ripley's escaping from the pod. So one of the more mental proposed endings out there in Ridley Scott's original version, Ripley would make good her escape from the exploding Nostromo.
Yeah.
Only for the Xenomorph to reappear on her shuttle.
Okay.
So it kind of...
Yeah, it latched on or whatever, yeah.
Bite her head off and start communicating with Earth using her voice. Yes, you've read that correctly.
What a way to end. Right, so usual plugs then. Viewsonthesofa.com, Viewsonthesofa at Twitter,
okay.
Viewsonthesofa at Facebook, and tell people to listen to this podcast.
Yeah, why not?
Tell people, just go, well, you've got 40 minutes to get to work.
Yeah.
I'm back, put this on.
Fine,
yeah.
It's good, it's all
yeah,
good.
Just listen, yeah, that's it really. Anything else from any plugs?
No, I'm just going to go and tend to my chicken.
Yeah, fair enough. Try and get stop that chicken dancing. Right. Bye.
Bye.
Flannel.